Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast.
Bringing you the latest from the world of sports, DFS, and gambling. With over 5 years of hot takes and millions of downloads later, I guess he's been doing something right. Now, sit back and listen to one of the sharpest minds in the game. Here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Welcome to the show, folks. I know it's been a little while, but we are back. Honestly, so much to talk about. We have baseball underway. We've got some surprising starts in baseball. We have both the NBA and NHL playoffs underway as well. Both, I would say across the board, it's been a lot of home team dominance to start out, which not surprising. Realistically, there are some clear-cut favorites both in the NBA and NHL. We did have the Celtics dropping a game at home to the Heat, who had a ridiculous shooting night from three. But all told, I don't have any real surprises to talk through from a playoff standpoint. I will be breaking down the individual series in the next couple of days just so I kind of give my thoughts of what I've seen thus far. But I honestly haven't been too surprised by anything in the playoffs thus far. But the item I do want to talk about is the NFL draft coming up later tonight. Realistically, this is going to be such a QB-heavy draft to start off with that I want to give my initial thoughts on where the mocks are going to land. Because realistically, we got to talk through a couple of these items. So without much further ado, the Chicago Bears, who completely and utterly misplayed their hand when it came to Justin Fields, it just was not even remotely a sensical situation where they had Justin Fields playing pocket QB and utterly taking his trade value by not... If you were going to draft Caleb Williams anyway, which the Bears are, why wouldn't you do your utter best to have Fields build up his trade value by just having him run all over the field? You weren't winning. Like, I don't even understand. It's like they were trying to go all in making Fields a pocket QB, which didn't make any sense. That's not what his style is. You never see the Ravens try to make... Well, actually, you do see the Ravens try to make Lamar a pocket QB, and it ends a disaster. But by and large, they try not to do that because it's not a conducive style. So, realistically, he just does not actually do much with their assets. Realistically, like, Fields this last year completely tanked his value because they weren't using him correctly. Again, if you were not serious about keeping him, why didn't you trade Fields the year before? When everyone said it made more sense, they opted into one last year with Fields and tried to make him a QB that wasn't the style that worked for him in his first 2 years in the league. Made no sense whatsoever. But yes, Caleb Williams is going to be the pick. Did the Bears do this correctly? No, because they completely misvalued what they had in Fields. They could have made this trade for Fields, gotten another first round, at least another first round pick for Fields, where his stock was last year when they featured him more as a runner. And then you would have been able to get Caleb Williams most likely anyway, because you would have been tanking enough. It's like, you got the number one pick because Carolina was so bad, but realistically, the Bears' own pick could have gotten them the number one pick, and they just traded Fields in the first place. Fields just, like, it was trending, or treaded water, and then went down. But, you know, again, you could have gotten an extra first-round pick out of this. Why they were still trying to make Fields work as a pocket QB just shows how little they understand about the basic concepts of football. And yes, can Caleb Williams be a number one QB in the NFL? Yes. Like, the stats that he's put out thus far in terms of his college record at Oklahoma and then later USC, yes, Caleb Williams can be that guy. The issue that it comes down to is pretty much the fact that when you look at his ability to read the field, technically he should be conducive enough to be a solid NFL starter, and so justifying a number one pick. The issue that I have is the fact that he's not a better, he's not necessarily, I don't want to consider Caleb Williams to be a better overall projected player than what you would have had. And again, this is the chaos of the NFL draft. Even based on his measurables, Caleb Williams is not that much of a superior college prospect coming out into the draft than what you had in Sam Darnold not too long ago coming out of USC. And I know that's going to sound like sacrilege to folks listening to this, but the reality situation is it's not that much. It's really not that much a measurable difference. And I know Sam Darnold has not panned out in the NFL. That just goes to show how hard it is projecting some of these guys, whether or not they're actually going to make it or not. But the reality of the situation is he's not that much better of a prospect than Darnold was. He's not a better prospect than what you would have gotten with Trevor Lawrence. He's basically slightly better than what you had projection-wise as a prospect compared to last year with Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. He's marginal. Like, again, C.J. Stroud just had the most incredible rookie year in NFL history, in my opinion. No one projected that. No one. So, again, from based off of what we have on their college backgrounds versus what they did in the pros, there are very different aspects to the QB game. It's like there's a reason why Brock Purdy went all the way to the seventh round as Mr. Irrelevant to the 49ers, and now Brock Purdy seems to be the perfect system fit for the 49ers. Like, there's coaching matters in the NFL in certain aspects. So if you're not landing in the proper spot to get there, there's some very reasonable doubts. The reason why I have very reasonable doubts about Caleb Williams, Chicago has shown me nothing. Yes, they traded for a number of skill position players to help Caleb Williams. Doesn't change the fact that I don't trust their offensive coordinator, and I don't trust their actual scouting department to actually put those guys in the best position. Yes, you grabbed a bunch of guys who have done good work in other places. That doesn't mean it's going to translate to immediate success when they're all in the same spot. So, again, Caleb Williams should work on paper. The staff around him is going to be the best most NFL rookies could ever hope to walk into. So it's almost a no-win situation that if Williams doesn't produce early for the Bears, that folks are going to say he's the bust. It's not necessarily the case that he's a bust, but the framework of the coaching around him leads some doubt to be had about the Bears and how they're going to run things. But that's my spiel for the number one pick. It's going to be Caleb Williams, you know, unless he somehow gets abducted by aliens before the draft tonight. The Bears have gone pot committed on Caleb Williams and have traded basically every chip that they have to amass more free agents to bring to the roster to be around Caleb Williams and see if it works. I don't think it will because it's the Bears. And again, I do not trust their coaching staff, but they've already gone all in, so they have no choice at this point. It's got to be Caleb Williams. He is the most refined QB prospect in this draft. Doesn't mean he's going to be the most successful. There's a very big difference. I keep trying to tell that to folks. Upside can always vary based off of where some of these guys land. Moving on. The Commanders. The Sam Howell experiment is over. Not that I thought Sam Howell was awful. I just think Sam Howell's a career NFL backup QB. Just because of his inability to be able to read certain coverages and inconsistencies. Again, could Howell have more of an opportunity elsewhere? Yes. But I think Washington gave him enough chances to be able to read defenses. And yes, I know Washington does not have great pass blocking. Most teams struggle with pass blocking. But his decision making shows me that he's probably an NFL career backup. And yes, he can definitely win games, but he's going to lose you a ton of games too. And that's what I kept seeing out of Howell. Maybe with another change of scenery, he improves some of the decision-making and reads. But arm strength and everything else it seemed to be conducive to NFL backup. Still clearly better than Mac Jones. It's like basically a stick figure could be better than Mac Jones. But Howell obviously got traded from Washington. Who do the Commanders select? And man, they really needed to go back to that Washington football team name. The Commanders still hasn't caught on as a name yet to me. Anyway, in terms of the second overall pick, I actually think it's going to be Jaden Daniels out of LSU. Realistically, if you look at the Commanders and their vertical attack, they should be able, and I would say realistically, led by Terry McLaurin, it's the only way for the Commanders to actually make a dent in the NFC East. Realistically, Washington's not going to be a premier destination. I mean, they picked up Austin Eckler at the very end of his usefulness as an NFL running back. Eckler could easily be a complete bust with Brian Robinson Jr. already there, and already Robinson Jr. is a good pass catcher and a solid runner. With Eckler being near the end of stage for NFL running backs, I'm not even sure if he beats out Robinson Jr. in training camp. That's going to be an interesting one to see, but from a passing attack standpoint, the Commanders have speed. It's just that Howell really couldn't get them the ball consistently down the field. It was a lot of broken plays that had to work. The one guy who has, I think, the best arm in the draft, better than Caleb Williams, going down the field with explosive plays, is Jaden Daniels. You saw him consistently at LSU, and he's pretty much the best runner out of everybody in this draft. The issue I have with Jaden Daniels is his frame is slight. Can he stay healthy in the NFL? The reason why I know Giants fans want Jaden Daniels, and I know Patriots fans want Jaden Daniels, is because of the running ability and the ability to throw deep down the field. You know, is there a possibility that Washington goes with Drake May because of the injury concerns that they may have with Jaden Daniels? Yes. But in terms of overall skill sets, Daniels is the better thrower between Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, in my opinion, down the field, which is what the Commanders want to do anyway. In terms of precision passing and short yardage game, I would say it's probably J.J. McCarthy. But based off of what the Commanders are looking to do from an offensive skill set, and yes, I know it's no longer Eric Bieniemy as the offensive coordinator, but their scheme is still being predicated more towards deep, big field, down the play passing. I got to say it's going to be the Commanders taking Jaden Daniels second. Moving on. Third, we got the Pats. What is Bill Belichick? Well, we can't even say that anymore. It's no longer Bill Belichick. Oh, man. Pats fans are still... They're saying they're relieved, but at the same time, I have to admit, the idea that the Pats could be the team going rogue in the draft seems atypical. Because the Pats going rogue usually involved Bill Belichick just trading back for more draft picks instead of just taking a player. Or just taking a random guy off the board that's like 14 to 15 spots like off of where everyone else is. So it's like you expect like just Belichick to just take a value guy. The idea that the Pats are going to take the best player available is technically going rogue, which I know sounds ridiculous, but that's literally what the Pats have avoided doing for the better part of 20-plus years. I mean, realistically, this is going to be an interesting draft for the Pats because, frankly, it's going to look somewhat normal. I'm expecting this to be either J.J. McCarthy or Drake May. Realistically, I could see Drake May being ahead of McCarthy with the Pats board. But to me, it's either or. I would be stunned, absolutely stunned, if it's not Drake May or J.J. McCarthy. And I think it's going to have an implication in this draft because my thinking is whoever doesn't get picked by the Pats, the other guy gets picked by the Vikings. I think the Vikings are going to trade up whether or not they can get to the 4 spot or they get to the 3 spot. I don't think New England's going to give up the 3 spot because, realistically, there's no guarantee you can get Arizona to agree to a 3-team trade just so the Pats can move down 1 spot. So I think it's either or. The Pats are going to take Drake May or they're going to take J.J. McCarthy, and then the Vikings are going to have to make the decision whether or not they complete their trade with the Cardinals to get their replacement for Kirk Cousins. Because realistically, Vikings fans should be thrilled not to have Kirk Cousins anymore. It's like you paid one of the richest salaries for the least amount of QB production in NFL history, and the Falcons signed up for an even more expensive contract on top of that with Kirk Cousins. And listen, I don't blame Kirk Cousins at all. If NFL owners are dumb enough to keep giving him money, that is well within his rights to earn money for his family. I just think it's one of the worst spends ever in NFL history. Even worse spend than most of what Matt Ryan made in his NFL career. But anyway, with that being said, the 4th pick, I think the Cards are trading it, most likely to the Vikings. If for some reason J.J. McCarthy goes to the Pats, I can't see a scenario where the Vikings do not make a trade for 4 with the Cardinals. In that case, then the draft gets a little bit wonky where the Cardinals could just take either Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers. But realistically, I still see the Vikings, no matter what, trading up to 4 to get a quarterback. The way their QB room looks right now, it just screams that they're just using the draft to get their guy. So I think they're trading up with the Cardinals. Whether it's going to be May or J.J. McCarthy, that remains to be seen. But I think that's where it's going to land up. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this, though.
Don't go anywhere. The Fantasy Throwdown Podcast will be right back after our sponsors pay the bills.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Welcome back to the show. Hope you got your popcorn ready.
Alright, boys and girls, we are back, and we have now reached the somewhat conspiracy theory aspect of the draft. Because at 5, this is where it gets really interesting. The Chargers. Now, Jim Harbaugh may be a crazy man. He may have tattooed Michigan 15-0 on his arm to celebrate his national title victory. But I don't think Jim Harbaugh's crazy enough to trade his franchise QB, Justin Herbert, just to select another QB and reset the salary clock on a cash-strapped Chargers team that had to cut many of their players just to get under the cap. Could it happen? Yeah. But realistically, if you were upselling Jim Harbaugh on coming to your team, trading your franchise QB as the first move is not necessarily a conducive strategy to luring a guy who just won a national championship. I'm sorry. So to me, I don't buy into the conspiracy theory that Justin Herbert's getting traded and the Chargers are drafting a QB. If anything, I think the Chargers are trading down this pick to get J.C. Latham at Alabama. Yeah, everyone could use an offensive tackle. Justin Herbert desperately needs an offensive tackle. Drafting offensive tackle at 5, unless it's you're sure that you've got a certified all-pro tackle. And again, being a Giants fan, we have been down this road many times. I don't look at this as a overwhelming draft for offensive line help, which is a problem because the Giants still need offensive line help. But anyway, at the top of the draft, I think it's a little bit of overreach for Latham. I think the Chargers are going to try to trade out of this pick. And again, I'm looking at this the mock drafts, and I don't... I'm still trying to find someone to give me a valid reason why Bo Nix is not going to end up in the top 10. You know the NFL draft is all about teams trying to upsell their fan bases with the next franchise QB. Bo Nix is literally just as good as any of these other dudes. It wouldn't shock me if Bo Nix even leaped ahead of Drake May or J.J. McCarthy and got selected by the Pats. It wouldn't shock me, because to me, they're all in this same group of, they're all project QBs. No one's winning anytime soon, in my opinion, with this QB draft. But I have a hard time sitting here and saying, from a mock draft perspective, Bo Nix doesn't end up in the top 10. He could easily be a team where you get a trade up, and the Broncos trade up to 5 to get Bo Nix. I can easily see this happening. You know, could they wait around and see? But guess what? The Raiders need QB help too. It's not even a shock if you get something happening. And I hope everyone understands this. Just because the Saints signed the Saints signed Derek Carr last offseason to be their QB with a four-year deal does not mean that they can't just move on from Derek Carr. The reason why Derek Carr is one of those placeholder QBs. If you see someone in the draft you like, you're going to upgrade off of Derek Carr. The Saints signed him because they didn't want to wait around for 5 years to find someone that could replace Drew Brees, and they didn't believe in Jameis. That's what the Saints did. But I'm being perfectly blunt here. In terms of multiple teams being in a position to trade up to get guys, all these picks outside of the Giants, and I wish the Giants would trade down. Truth be told, I wish the Giants would trade down. I don't see the Giants being smart enough to trade down at 6. I think the Giants are likely just staying put in drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. or Roman Odunze or Malik Nabers. I think wide receiver is going to be the play for the Giants. They're going to hope they, like, again, do I think Joe Schoen and Brian Daboll want to hope for Daniel Jones to be healthy? No. Do I think John Mara has told them we are still going to be remaining committed to Daniel Jones? Yes. Is it possible the Giants draft a QB? Sure. If it's J.J. McCarthy or some other guy that they can upsell to the fan base. But I don't necessarily see the Giants necessarily being the Bo Nix sweepstakes. Even though Bo Nix is just the same guy. I think from the smokescreen stories that the Giants have been putting out there in recent days about Drake May, I think they're hoping someone goes up to get Drake May and hope that McCarthy falls to them. I don't think it's going to necessarily work out, because I think there's just too many teams that need QBs, and the Giants don't seem to be the type, and again, I just, knowing this from the history of the Giants, to trade up multiple draft picks just to move up 2 spots. It's like, I don't think they're ready to completely turn the page on Daniel Jones, even though the data overwhelmingly tells them they need to move on from Daniel Jones. I just don't see it happening. So I think the pick at 6 is going to be wide receiver at the Giants, whether it's Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., or Odunze. It remains to be seen, but it's probably Harrison Jr. Should the Giants do something else with the pick? Absolutely. But realistically, the crazy scenario of the Giants drafting a QB, absolutely on the table. And the reason why I say it's a crazy scenario for the Giants to draft a QB is the fact that the Giants have so many other needs that we're stretching the limits of logic here, doing something else. I wish the Giants would just trade back and get more draft capital to build out the rest of the squad, because Mara forced Sean's hand so badly with the Daniel Jones contract that we ended up foregoing free agent signings that could have helped immediately and just had to build through the draft last year, especially at cornerback. And you all saw how that worked out. They're going to be better, but man, that was a brutal first year in terms of rookie baptism by fire. So, anywho, we move on so we can kind of get through this top 10 of plays. The Titans, knowing the Titans, they are going to draft offensive line. They're going to rebuild this thing. Whether or not it's the most fruitful aspect, they're going to build around Will Levis. And they're going to build through the line, which, again, I don't believe in Will Levis, but the Titans do. And the way the Titans build their teams, they build it through offensive line after they get their QB. Something the Giants should do, but hey, guess what? The Titans are way better at scouting offensive linemen than the Giants will ever be. So that is the scenario we are under. So most likely, I look at this as whether it's J.C. Latham out of Alabama or Joe Alt at Notre Dame, I see the Titans being in the mix there at 7. 8. Here comes the Falcons. Realistically, they already committed to Kirk Cousins, so, I mean, they're not drafting QB. Do I think Kirk Cousins is a snake oil salesman in the form of an NFL QB? Yes. But you pay that much money, Kirk has got to be playing for 2 to 3 years, at minimal, which makes QB the worst thing they could actually go for. On terms of the rest of the roster for the Falcons, the only thing I would say is pass rush is a premium. I like the Falcons secondary. I like their offensive line. We obviously love all their skills missing players that they couldn't get the ball because Desmond Ridder was that bad of an NFL QB without a viable backup. I think there's just so many good places on the Falcons roster as is that the only area that could get an immediate lift is pass rush. So I could see Leitu Latu from UCLA going here. If not, the Falcons could just trade down because, again, I think this draft is so unique where we're going to get multiple QBs taken. And, yes, teams are going to reach for QBs. There's a chance one of these wide receivers slides down outside the top 10 because of everyone drafting for QBs, other than the Jets. The Jets are going to get a receiver for Aaron Rodgers, or they're going to get Brock Bowers at tight end. I already know this much. And then at 9, because of where the Bears are, I think, again, depending on where some of these plays go, I think there's going to be trade down opportunities for most of these teams. I don't think the Bears are selecting another play here. I know folks are saying, you know, Neighbors or Odunze for Caleb Williams. The Bears have so many skill position players as is that they brought in. They don't need to draft another wide receiver. As ridiculous as that sounds. And again, the Bears went all in. I don't like the idea of drafting another rookie who basically, yes, it's a nice thing, but the way the Bears are constructed, like, their veterans need to get the ball. I mean, you got Keenan Allen and Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. Like, they're gonna need the ball. So realistically, there ain't no room for a third receiver in that offense. If we're being completely honest with ourselves here, drafting wide receiver makes no sense for the Bears. So I think the Bears got to trade out of this. It doesn't make sense if none of the defensive players realistically are going to make enough of an immediate impact for the Bears right now. I think they got to trade out of this. That's why I still think there's a more than reasonable chance Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. get drafted in the top 10 tonight, because there's just too many opportunities for teams to trade down that they're reaching for bigs that they don't need to, and other teams want to draft QBs to upsell to their franchises. Jets at 10. Either if it's not a skill position player, it's going to be blocking for Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron always complains about his skill position players. I think GM Aaron Rodgers, because what no matter what the Jets say, Aaron Rodgers is the de facto GM of the Jets. Aaron will get what he wants, whether it's offensive line help, which I doubt. I think it's going to be skill position players. Brock Bowers makes sense. Roman Odunze makes sense. But there's going to be some wide receiver help. I don't see the Jets trading down out of those spot though. I think they're going to take someone out in this area. Now, other things I would look for in the draft coming up. In terms of teams that I could see making moves, I could see the Jags making moves. I can actually see a couple other teams in spots where they've already got pretty much what they need. I could easily see, most of the draft becoming a run on offensive tackles and on the back end. So basically, because this draft doesn't have great tackles, doesn't have great linebackers that you want to be taking first round, I think there's going to be a run on tackles in the back end of the first round. And then everyone trading up to get their QBs in the top 10, thus pushing down some of those wide receivers into that 11 to 15 range. So some of the wide receivers are going to slide. Everyone's going to panic about the fall of X, Y, and Z player. I don't think it's going to be that big of a item. The teams that realistically, I think you could try to see get into the first round are the Chiefs, just because of the Rashee Rice situation. Realistically, like not to make light of it, but Rashee Rice, I would be shocked if Rashee Rice is playing in the NFL next year. So it would not shock me if, with some of these wide receiver plays slipping, if the Chiefs trade into the first round to get a wide receiver, just because they got to get someone who could stretch the defense and open up the top for Patrick Mahomes. As much as Patrick checked down, you can only check down so much. Like Rashee Rice at least gave somewhat of a threat of a deep ball. Yeah, the Chiefs are going to figure some things out, but it wouldn't shock me if the Chiefs got back into the first round to get a wide receiver, given some of the other issues that have popped up. But yeah, I think the back end of this first round is going to be dominated by offensive line. A couple of teams rating in, but like from the skills position players, I actually think the wide receivers are going to get squeezed here because of the run on the QBs that I'm expecting in the top 10. I think there's going to be more QBs selected in that top 10 and even into the 15 range with folks trading in. I think Penix Jr. is almost a lock to go before 16. That's just me. It's like some folks think he's going to go into the second round. Should he go into the second round? Absolutely. Will he go into the second round? I strongly doubt it. I think all these teams are so desperate to sell their jobs to their owners and the fan bases that these GMs are going to fight amongst themselves to overdraft some of these players. So it is what it is. It's the way the NFL draft works. There's a lot of optics involved as well. So logic kind of goes outside the window. So anyway, that's all I've got for now. We'll do a draft recap, obviously, when everything shakes out. So we'll see how it goes from there. But enjoy the spectacle of the NFL draft. And we'll be back for more coverage of the draft and the playoffs as we go along. Have a good one, folks.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all major outlets.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.